Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hi, I'm Paco Romaine, and you're listening to Sup Doc, the premier podcast about documentaries by doc fans for doc fans. And today is our four-year anniversary.
What?
And it's also the first episode in our month-long Mayhem series, where we cover true crime documentaries every Monday in May. And we start with the Netflix documentary, The Legend of Cocaine Island. A lazy wish-fulfillment DIY rags-to-riches story that is more rags than riches. Cocaine Island centers around Robert Hayden, who was on top of the world as a Florida businessman before the recession hit. And as he was looking at the bad hand life had dealt him, he heard a great urban legend repeated over and over again. There was a guy walking the beach in Puerto Rico one day when he saw a bag floating in the shallow water. He brought it to shore, unzipped it, and found millions of dollars in cocaine. But with the corrupt police force of Puerto Rico, he had no way to get it out, so he buried it. Basically, there was a buried treasure of millions of dollars in drugs just waiting for someone to find it. And that's what Robert set out to do. My guest today is comedian Chris Riggins. From producing unique shows such as The Outdoor Comedy Club, opening for Dave Chappelle, his first time on stage, to featuring and headlining at major clubs and colleges throughout the United States, the sky is truly the limit for Chris. Another note, if you haven't seen The Legend of Cocaine Island on Netflix, there are some spoilers in this episode. So go, watch it, come back, join the conversation. And now, here's my conversation with Chris. This is Sup Doc. I have my guest, Chris Riggins, is here. And Chris is one of my favorite Bay Area comedians, or just comedians in general. I don't have to give you a geographic location.
You can do that. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the dude is hilarious, always has been. And he wanted to talk about The Legend of Cocaine Island.
What a legend.
What a legend. This documentary is on Netflix. It's still on Netflix as of today because I just rewatched it again.
I couldn't find it.
Oh, really?
Well, I was watching on my phone, so it didn't come up.
Oh, yeah.
Narcos came up.
Oh, right. Well, that makes sense.
I watched that a little bit.
This is like the bumbling, like Apple Dumpling Gang version of Narcos. This is...
Oh, my God. You know what? Actually, you're right. It's kind of like that old... Fuck, like that. It's like the Benny Hill Narcos.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah. All they need is some sax.
If Wes Anderson directed Narcos.
Right. Or the Coen brothers.
The Coen brothers.
It has a very Coen brothers feel to it.
Yeah, because Andy's kind of like, you know how they always have a disabled character, and Andy is kind of that guy.
Yep.
Like, I mean, he's not disabled, but he's just totally just unusable.
Yes, he's entirely unusable. And they always have this like kind of dumb guy with like a get rich quick scheme that just fails up. He just keeps failing up to shit.
Dude, it's like dumb or dumb. It's like, first of all, you got the dumb smart guy.
Right.
He's the leader. He's the one. He's smarter than everybody else, but outside of his circle, he's dumb.
Yes.
And then he trickles down his condescending intelligence down to, you know, the next two guys. And it turns out that the drug dealer, the actual drug dealer, what was his name?
Carlos.
The Cuban, Carlos was the Carlos, yeah.
Carlos. The Cuban was the guy with the thing around his mouth. Yeah.
Turns out the Cuban was the smartest guy because he got off scot-free.
Yes. He did get off scot-free. Yes.
He's the criminal.
Yeah. This documentary I love this document. I was reading some reviews about it, and people, you know, like fucking smart, too smart for school kind of cats were like, didn't like it. They thought it was kind of a boring doc, but I thought it was awesome. I think it's really well shot. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the editing in it, and the story is fucking nuts.
It is. And like, yeah, I like the little things they did where they had the reenactments, or, you know, like the little point where he talks about dude look like Tony Montana and
yes.
Say hello to my little, he kept saying it over again. It's just like, It's a blue collar documentary. It's not so pretentious.
Carlos kind of reminded me a little of Tony Montana with his body language and his accent and the way he put a little extra in behind some of his words. Scarface. I just like that guy. First time I watched Scarface was probably when it first came out. I've watched it several times. I went to the theater and watched it, and then I've watched it on HBO, I don't know how many times. Say hello to my little friend. Say hello to my little friend. Say hello to my little friend.
It's kind of weird that so this guy's name is Rodney Hayden. Rodney Hayden, yeah, from Archer, Florida. Ooh. And of course this took place in Florida.
White guy named Rodney is always going to lead you astray.
Yeah.
Rodney, even in any race, Rodneys have always been the dude you just like. You just don't trust everything Rodney says.
Never. No, never. No. If someone named Skeeter or a Rodney, you know, or a Griffin.
I trusted Andy more. I would trust Andy with the story way more because Andy would have been like, dude, I'm just going to go down there. I'm just going to get it and I'm going to disappear. And he would.
He would disappear,
He would go get it and you'd never hear from Andy again.
You'd never see Andy again until like maybe 15 years later and he'd be the same guy.
Exactly. And he'd have a great 15-year story of what happened. Well, as soon as I found the coke.
Yes.
I had a party. Yeah, that's the first thing.
And it was over. It was gone. And then we lost half of it. Yeah, so the doc opens up. We see Andy first, and we learn about Andy. It doesn't open. It's kind of interesting because it doesn't open on Rodney, the actual main character. It opens on Andy, which is like a perfect because he is kind of the Gollum of this story.
Yeah.
You know, like he is kind of the my precious, like, you know.
Yeah.
He is kind of the, like you said, the differently abled person in this story. And Andy is just like, it's funny because like we don't know exactly what his drug of choice is. Even though Rodney says that when he first met him, he was fucked up and you know,
well, Rodney first thought it was weed.
Right. Which is such a funny thing. It's like no one's that fucked up on weed.
Well, I think what it is also because, you know, we live in California where weed is just abundant and people I've been smoking weed and been around people smoking weed for so long that it's not even new. It's like, mm-mm. But for somebody in Florida where weed is probably a little different. Yeah, he probably like, I've never been around anybody on anything but weed. So I'm assuming it's weed, but to us, it's like, oh, that dude's on heroin, ketamine, oxy, Xanax, whatever.
Something, yeah.
Whatever he can get his hands on. Whatever powder substance he can get on, he'll do it, you know?
Yeah.
But I trusted him more.
Oh, yeah. There is, it's weird how like, what is that? Let's explore that for a second. Like, what makes Andy more trustworthy than someone like Rodney?
He's too stupid to lie.
Oh, fuck. There it is. Yeah.
It's one of, I mean, all right. He's probably not going to hear this, but.
No.
My brother-in-law.
Okay, there we go.
My ex-brother-in-law, my ex-wife's brother. He's a sweet guy. I love him to death, but he is what we've called a simple man. because he just doesn't have the capacity to think of clever things to say. Saying things and then deceitful things to say.
Right.
Levels. You got to really, you know, it's like the ones that are most calm. Like Rodney has a psychopath, sociopathic type style where I feel he could lie. I feel like he lies easily. He lies on cue. He could lie for no reason. Like he don't even have to lie. You'd be like, hey, what's in that glass right there? He'd be like, vodka, you know, for no reason.
Right.
Whereas Andy is like, my brother-in-law, he was like his family nickname. And God, I hope he doesn't. He's going to kill me. His family nickname is Speedy.
Uh-huh.
And it's not because he runs fast. Right.
Yeah. It's like when they call a big guy tiny.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's Speedy.
Yeah.
Great. Like, heart-wise, he's one of the most pure-hearted people you meet. But he can't lie for shit. He always gets caught lying.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel Andy's like, I don't even lie. Like, when he asked him, he's like, I don't have a drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mean, am I on drugs? Yeah, well, I do drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. It's not a problem for me.
Right.
I do drugs, but it's not.
Yeah.
That's everything they say. You know what? I actually might party with you one night.
Yeah.
I actually might go down your path halfway to see where you going and then come back.
But, right.
Yeah, it's just, it's a, you've met these people before.
I have, man.
You love them, but you're just like, yeah, you can never lie to me.
No, that is true. I mean, I grew up in like Farmville, white, racist Southwest Michigan, where there's a ton of Andes, man. Just a ton of Andes rolling around.
Yep.
And they're generally good-hearted people who just make really horrible decisions, you know. And, I mean, last night, I did a show last night with Chris, and I was talking about my stupid roommate, Kenny. He's the same thing. Lovely guy. Like, big heart, but he's dumb. And it's because, like, I don't think people that dumb know how to be, like, that deceitful. Just what you're saying. Yeah.
And that makes them so much more fun to be here. Like, I can put up with your stupidity over deceitfulness.
Yeah.
Like, I can't stand somebody who lies to me when they don't. Like, okay, I get it. We all lie in life. There's a certain degree where we all will tell a fib or not truth or omit some of the facts.
Right.
But there's a difference between someone who outright encounters you just to lie.
Yeah.
And Rodney seems very much like the type that will just encounter you just to lie. Because even at the end, when he's all and everybody's feeling bad for him, right. And I'm like, he tried to smuggle fucking dope in America.
Right.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
He's the victim? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But his whole mentality was instead just saying, you know what, guys? I did it. I tried to traffic pounds of cocaine back into the mainland United States.
Yeah.
I did it. I should do my time. He literally got off because they were like, he's never done this before. And it's like, and the whole time he's still playing this innocent role.
Yeah.
Lying, deceiving. Whereas, you know, he's still deceiving. He's got, even Andy is like, yeah, he doesn't deserve that. But then the drug dealer, Carlos, is like, fuck you talking about, bro?
Yeah.
That's the game.
That is the game. Yeah.
You want to do drugs? You want to bring drugs in the country? That's the game, homie.
Yeah.
I get caught. I don't want to go to jail. I snitch on you.
Yeah.
You go to jail.
That is the game. Yeah. Because D, the Cuban, that's the cat with the handkerchief around his face half this time. When he's like, I don't know, did you... Maybe I just missed this, but I can't figure out what year this took place where they went to the island and stuff.
I think it was like the early 2000s. Because I remember the clips from when his business started tanking because started going bad was switching between George W. And Obama.
Right. So 2006.
And the pictures of Obama, he was young.
He
had the black hair. I would say maybe, what year Obama was? Obama was like 2008 was the first Obama.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe
mid 2000s.
Before that, maybe.
Because that makes sense. Because the economy crashed. Let's back up just a second. So Rodney had a very successful construction business in Florida where he was looked like he was doing very well for himself. He had the big house.
Mm-hmm.
They had the big car garage, the three car garage, which they talk about all
the
time. Jet skis. They had a lake house. They had Harley Davidsons. They had the white person dream. The Southern white person dream was happening for them. And then the economy hit and he lost all of his business. And so they had to move into a double wide on their 40 acre. And like
you moved to 40 acres, my guy. Like,
yeah, it's not that bad. Yeah. Yeah. There's people in worse situations than having 40 acres and a double wide.
They made it seem like they had to move to Liberty City into the projects in Miami. Like they had to really move we got to move to Jacksonville.
Right. That's funny. Yeah. Liberty City. Yeah. No, it wasn't that bad. But, you know, I mean, from their experience, it was definitely a downgrade. And we hear from Rodney's wife a bunch. And she's like, you know, we had the 1 year plan, which turned into the 2 year plan, which turned into the three, the four, the five. You know, they were there for a long time in the double wide trying to get shit, you know, back.
Yeah.
And then we start hearing. So we also hear from one of Rodney's friends at the beginning talking about this hippie named Julian.
Yes.
Who walks around barefoot. Yes. And he moved to Puerto Rico with his wife. Apparently there was some turtle sanctuary.
Yes.
And this Julian cat finds a bag of what he thinks is hopefully money, but it turns out to be cocaine. Which is money. Yeah. And as like a smart hippie cat does. Like there are smart hippie guys and then there's fucking dumb ass hippie guys. Like Julian seems like one of those smart hippie guys. And he was just like, fuck it, I'm going to bury this. And someday I may come back and get it. And then he moves back to Florida, and then they have these weekend like get-togethers where they just party.
Yeah.
And Julian has told this story much, you know, a lot of times, which gets Rodney interested. That's how we get to this Cocaine Island thing. Yes. Yeah.
That weed must have been good because, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like if I was and you, we were sitting around and that story came out, I'd be like, that's fucking hilarious. Well, next. I hope whoever finds that cocaine.
Well, right, because we're not idiots, you know, and not only, but it's just the best thing about it is like how bumbling these guys are. Like, you just don't one day be like, you know what, I'm going to get out of the construction business and get into the cocaine trafficking business. Oh,
my God. To hear him talk about it, like, it's almost like he went online. It's almost like he just went to some poor neighborhood and said, hey guys, where do I buy drugs?
Yeah.
And so I was like, that's how he was doing it. He was just like, he wasn't even strategic thinking, well, you know what? The more people that I tell, the more likely someone can tell on me.
Yeah.
You know, in this endeavor. Like, instead of saying listening to it, then maybe taking a trip down there by himself without nobody knowing, see if he could find it. Instead of calling Julia, like, what's up? Where's it at? You know, just take a couple of years to search for it throughout the time. Don't rush.
Right.
And when you find it, you figure out what to do then instead of I'm going to employ everybody. But that's the whole I'm smarter than the stupid people.
Right.
Stupid mentality. You know,
yeah.
He thought he was smarter than the hippie who was smart enough to say, nah, I'm going to leave that there.
Yeah, that is true. And it's. And the story leading up to them getting to Puerto Rico is fucking hilarious because they have to deal with D, the Cuban guy with the handkerchief around his mouth, who's obviously like is the only street guy in this who seems like he's been like, this is what he's done.
Yeah.
You know, Andy's just done the drugs. Rodney wants to get the drugs, but D is dealt and been in that world, you know? And so they hook him up with our man Carlos, the trafficker.
Tony Montana.
And then we, you know, I love when he walks in there and he's like, he was drinking like expensive tequila, you know, like that, if that's something.
And then he says, I have a margarita.
Yeah. I love too how like Rodney is the only one in the reenactments that plays himself, you know, like,
yes.
Like he really does light up this documentary. Without that fucking dude in this documentary, it might not be the same, like, how much fun it is, you know?
Well, it's because he's a narcissist. He likes the attention.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing. That's the whole thing I read through the whole thing. He likes attention. He likes being the guy. I'm the man. I'm the dude. I got this construction company. Oh, you want to come work for me? Oh, I can't let you work in it because you might kill somebody, but you can come tag along because I gave you some money to wash my car and do things I don't.
Right.
Rodney is the Donald Trump of his crew.
Yes, he is.
He's the Donald Trump of his crew. So he's calling shots. He's not asking. He's not even really asking these people how to do this. He's telling them how he thinks he's going to do it. And he thinks it's just this season. He thinks, like, of all, like, you watched Scarface, apparently.
Yeah.
But did you watch Scarface, see how hard it was for him to get the cocaine into the goddamn country?
Yeah.
Did you think about that? And, oh, my God. I want to laugh. And I want to give him the Nelson laugh. I just want to.
That's awesome. Yeah, he obviously watched Scarface, but didn't get to the end where he just dies in a pile of coke and gets shot up by, like, you know, his rivals and
bigger drug dealers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what happened. D, the Cuban kind of played him. He was like, look, I ain't even. Like, honestly, D really, like, you can't expect a criminal to give a non-criminal the same code of ethics he would give another criminal.
Right.
Because he knows, okay, you're not a drug dealer. You've never been around this. You've probably never even done coke. So I could tell you whatever the fuck I want to tell you.
Yeah.
I could have told you that shit's worthless.
Yeah.
And then just went down there and found it myself.
Right.
I could have been like, well, coke degrades after so many years, so it's probably not even there.
Right.
And then went down there, got the coke, and never said anything to you.
Right.
And the fact that he got popped on his third, which would have been his third strike for some stupid shit, it's kind of like, man, kind of. Yeah, you deserve that, Rodney.
Yeah, well, if you think of, like, Puerto Rico, man, it's, like, super hot and super rainy. Like, two things that cocaine does not like to be around, you know?
Yeah.
I never thought about that. Like, it's probably not going to be around.
But I guess you know, as you said, the hippie, Julian, is smart.
Right.
He's probably one of those hippies that knows, well, you bury things under 5 feet of earth, it protects it from
right. 57 degrees.
You know, the earth right by the ocean is 62 degrees Fahrenheit. And if you get across, like, he probably knows that type of shit.
Right.
So he buried it knowing it would never be bothered. And then he's telling this story to these people who thinks, would never have the nuts to go do it.
Yeah.
And then the dumbest one says, yeah.
Yeah, he got someone to go do it for sure.
Oh.
It's so fucking funny, too, because when they get to Puerto Rico, their biggest problem is that no one thought about having a shovel. And no one thought to look up if there's a Home Depot or a place to buy a shovel.
He said there's no Home Depot. Right. It's like, so you think everywhere is like here. Like, yes. You think everywhere, like, whereas Puerto Rico is, even though it's a territory of the United States, it's not the United States. Okay.
Yeah.
You realize that, my friend. He's like, hey, I don't know. I mean, I'm a white guy. I got money. I'm going to go get this other money, and I'm going to take this other poor white guy who I can tell what to do this. And he's just going to crawl his head up my ass because I got money and I'm flying into Puerto Rico and I bought him a lobster, even though.
Oh, shit. That's right.
Even though he can't eat lobster.
Yeah.
It is just like, oh, my God. Yeah. It's the bumbling.
The bumbling. Yeah. The fumbling way. Because they get to Puerto Rico and they celebrate with lobster dinner.
Oh, my God.
And Andy tells the story about how, like, large the lobster was, and then he gets sick.
Rodney's, like, real particular about food. Like, he gets mad if you don't eat it, you know what I'm saying? So I had this big-ass lobster in my face, and I don't even like lobster, might I add. I was shoving it down my throat because I knew Rodney was going to yell at me because it was, like, $100 for the lobster, right? Luckily, Rodney tapped out like halfway into his, so I knew I was straight and I could put mine down now. I was like praying. I was like so happy, dude, because I'm not looking forward to eating that whole fucking lobster. That night I got sick as a motherfucker.
Gotta cast this dog. Cast this dog.
Okay, so I definitely got Zach Galifianakis for Rodney.
Oh, fuck, that's really good.
Just because he just has that weird eccentric type of thing that Rodney has. And I think, like, for instance, what movie was that? In The Hangover, his confidence as Alan of just being overly confident in your fucking weirdness.
Right.
That's who I get for Rodney.
Yeah. Why is confidence always wasted on the truly untalented?
Yeah.
Why is that? What is that? I never understood that.
I think it was when you're truly untalented, you have to build up a false sense of confidence, and then sometimes you get caught up in your own lie of the confidence, and, you know, people say, fake it till you make it, and so you're like, I'll just be confident until I have a 10-inch dick, but until then, this 1-inch penis is going to be out here telling these bitches what it is. That's
fun. Yeah, right.
Who would be D? I could definitely see James Franco.
Oh, fuck. Dude, that's really good. Yeah.
B-D.
What about Andy, though?
Andy's a tough one because I was going to say Sam Rockwell, but Sam is just so far above that pay grade right now.
Right.
Maybe Steve Buscemi 10 years ago.
What about, what's his fuck on Saturday Night Live, Davidson?
Oh, Pete Davidson?
Yeah, Pete Davidson.
He would be good. I liked him in The Dirt. I just feel like he's always playing Pete Davidson. I don't feel like he's ever.
Yeah, you know what he is? He's always kind of.
Into character.
No, he's always kind of winking at the camera.
Charlie Day could be Andy.
Oh.
He totally has that little.
Oh, that's good.
He could totally pull that off.
Oh, Charlie Day would be perfect.
Ah, that'd be the best. And then Carlos, I don't know. We can just get random. Latino.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't really speak or anything, but, like, yeah. Yeah.
I think we bring Benjamin Bratt back.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, he could do that. He did it in Superfly. Did you see the remake of Superfly?
No.
So, yeah, Benjamin Bratt plays, you know, the Colombian drug dealer.
Right. Yeah, Benjamin Bratt would be perfect for that.
Yeah.
Or even the guy who plays on Narcos, the guy that plays...
Agent Pena, what is that dude's name?
Yeah, what is his name?
Because he was in Star Wars too.
Yeah, and Game of Thrones.
Was he in Game of Thrones?
Yeah,
I did not know that.
Yeah,
I assume Game of Thrones is pretty much all white.
Yeah, I mean he's light skinned, so
okay. Well, yeah. I heard they got some Negroes in Game of Thrones now, but that's
they do.
That's gonna be my new podcast, Negroes in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but none of them have dicks, so. Yeah, the black characters in Game of Thrones.
Racism, he is fat. They don't want the black man to reproduce. Deuce with the dragon bitch. Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Have niggas on dragons. Like, what, homie?
That's actually, you know, that is going to be my Game of Thrones podcast. Niggas on dragons.
Yeah. That's awesome.
If anybody hears this and they come out with that, me and Paco will sue you.
Yeah.
Niggas on dragons.
We'll get Rodney involved.
Yeah. And the thing is, I'm not going to talk about the Game of Thrones at all. They're gonna be like, that's what is this? I'm like, hey, it's niggas on dragons. I don't know.
Just whatever.
Yeah, that would be a good movie. So Zach and Charlie
Benjamin.
Benjamin Brad playing the silent.
And maybe it could be narrated by Matthew McConaughey. Because he would be like the perfect narrator for
Julian. He's gonna be Julian narrating.
Oh fuck.
Wow.
Holy shit.
We're done. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. We just fucking rocked the world.
Wow. That would be perfect.
Because that's all he plays anyway.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Every role Matthew McConaughey plays, no matter if it's supposed to be a smart guy, whatever, I just see a lazy beach bum from the South.
Right, yeah.
They got a suit on. He's like, yeah, man, I'm a lawyer now.
Never wore shoes in my life, man. Be pretty cool if you did. Yeah.
Oh God.
That's fucking awesome.
Netflix should have made this in a movie instead of
it's
a documentary.
Gotta be, dude. I can't imagine it's not coming out as a movie. What would you call it instead of Legend of Cocaine Island? What would you call the movie version of this?
Well, Dumb and Dumber is taken.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be out.
Great White Hope.
Okay, I like that. Yeah. Sands of Puerto Rico, something that makes it sound too romantic. It would be more dramatic.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like something Chase or something, you know.
Oh,
like
right.
Maybe we add, just for theatrics, we add other characters chasing to get it.
Oh, right.
You know, we add like a couple of bounty hunters and then, you know, like a...
Fuck, it does need a bounty hunter.
Like a wealthy businessman from like Saskatchewan who's,
right.
who's heard about this and, you know. And then at the end, Julian actually gets it all because...
That'd be sweet.
It's like, it'd be like a comedic The Usual Suspects.
Right, right.
And everybody, and then Julian is actually Kaiser Soze, and, you know.
Yes.
And it turns out Julian actually, it was his coke in the first place.
Right.
Or he killed the people who had the coke.
Damn.
Woo! Damn. I got so many ideas. Hollywood need to come fuck with me.
Yeah, they do.
Because they keep remaking shit. Yeah. I mean, like I said, they remade Superfly, which actually wasn't a bad movie.
Really?
You just have to realize what it is. You know, it's new generation. You know, I like the Superfly. He knew martial arts.
Uh-huh.
He's really pretty.
Uh-huh.
And he could whoop ass. And that was pretty dumb. And they had pretty white guns and, you know, rap music going.
Yeah.
And all the white people died at the end, which is kind of like, you know, me. That's kind of
that made you happy.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, I asked my friend about the movie La La Rona.
Yeah.
And I said, do the white people die? She was like, yeah. I was like, well, I'm going to see it. We got to promote these narratives.
Yeah. That's funny.
A name for this besides The Legend of Cocaine Island.
What would you
name it?
I think Great White Hope or Sniff.
I like Sniff.
Maybe Sniff.
Get Guy Ritchie to direct it.
Yeah, like, get Guy Ritchie to direct it.
Real snatch-like Sniff. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because he's sniffing it out, and you sniff cocaine, and I don't know, and it's kind of catchy. I don't know. I might do something like that, but... So we're gonna, there are obviously spoilers in this, but we're gonna assume you've already seen this documentary. So, because at the end, one of my favorite things is like they asked Julian, like, so, like, you know, tell us the story, and he's like, this isn't my story to tell anymore. I was like, you goddamn hippie.
I love him for that.
Yeah,
I think he did it all for his entertainment.
I think so,
like
too.
He doesn't watch TV, probably. He probably doesn't do anything. But
he has like an AM radio that he probably listens to.
And it only gives like this Janis Joplin type rock that isn't even Janis Joplin or whatever. So, yeah, he doesn't care. And I'm pretty sure he got paid cool off of everybody.
Yeah.
You know, like coming to hear the story from him. And, you know, and now the documentary's out. And Julian's cool, man. I admire him.
I would hang out with Julian. I'd hang out with all of these characters for at least a night of just like around the fire, smoking some weed, drinking a little bit, you know, it's probably some moonshine.
Oh my God.
I imagine.
Yeah, but then I feel like I'd end up having sex with Rodney's wife, and that'd just be Actually, he might be into that. It seems like he would.
He would definitely be into
totally,
that.
Yeah, man. Go ahead. Go ahead, fuck my wife, man. It's a good party.
Yeah. He'd definitely be into feet, like that Jets coach.
I forget
his name now. Remember that?
He's got some weird fetish. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like elbow fat. Like, oh, look at that.
Elbow fat
hangs off those elbows.
Oh my god, that's funny. But this is definitely a like Florida man meme come to life. I mean, that's I called this the lazy wish fulfillment fantasy doc. Like that is like
actually that's a great name, lazy wish fulfillment.
Yeah, lazy wish fulfillment. Exactly.
The movie
that is like what America's coming to now. It's like we all want what we want, but we're not gonna go out and get it in the smart way.
Yeah,
like we just want it to come to us, and we're gonna be the laziest to get to it. You know,
what happened to the days of like you know just playing lottery, you know, or or selling Amway, or you know some some like you know. Get rich quick schemes never hurt anybody but the person trying to get rich quick.
Yeah.
Usually the people that they tried or whatever didn't really get hurt too much. But now these scams just be like, this was like the ultimate scam. Like, I'm surprised he didn't go to like a black around neighborhood and literally try to pay somebody to go do this for him.
That is, you're right. That is surprising because he probably didn't know anybody. Like, he didn't really know even, like, he only met fucking Andy. Who then gave him D or the Cuban who then led him to, you know,
Carlos.
So he probably, I mean, what I was mostly, we'll talk about what surprised you the most. For me, what surprised me the most is that he actually fucking smoked weed and he seemed kind of liberal, like in a weird way. I mean, they don't really get into politics, but when he was talking about like, oh, he always had really good weed, you know, and then they show him like, you know, like smoking and stuff. And I was like, oh, wow, that's kind of surprising.
I think maybe of the races he hung out with, he might have been the most liberal.
Yeah.
Because at no point watching this movie did I think that any of these people have not said the word nigger. Have not cussed out Obama.
Right.
And but the story is so good. I pushed that all about the back of my head and I'm like,
yes,
this is just a story of stupid people. It's almost like satisfying to know that, okay, you guys are all probably very racist. So the fact that all this terrible shit happened to you is really satisfying to me. It's almost like, okay, good. You deserve this.
That's,
you know,
amen. It goes back like thousands of years, this kind of story, man.
Oh my God. You know,
it goes back thousands of years.
Because, like, I like the guy that they first said, you know, the difference between a southern fair tale and a northern fair tale?
Oh, yeah, Russell or whatever his name.
Yeah, northern fair tale starts off once upon a time. Southern fair tale, I was like, you ain't going to believe this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And honestly, I almost felt like he should have been the voice of Reagan is that at some point to Roddy, like, bruh, come on.
Right.
Like, you just can't.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? I mean, honestly. And I also think maybe. Like it wasn't clear. Did his wife know what he was doing?
Well, he said that he told her he was going on a fishing trip.
So he was lying to her too.
Right.
And but almost I feel like because of her missing the high life, I almost feel like she would have been like, well, go. Mm-hmm. Go do it. Go get it. You know, I almost feel like she'd have been down.
Right.
And that's why I almost feel like she was just kind of like, she was very forgiving at the end. She was like, he didn't deserve that. I was like, bitch, what?
What? Dude, what? He did. He tried to smuggle cocaine into the United States. There is some entrapment involved.
Yes.
Yes, which we haven't gotten to. But still, like, there are repercussions to actions and saying things. Like, that's what happens.
Yeah. And that was the part that I think that was the most white privileged part I had for the whole movie was just listen to them cry over him being wrongfully done. And I'm like, in a sense, you were wrongfully done, but you got like what, 10 months in prison? What was it?
60 days.
60 days in prison because Florida has a law that if you're a first time, you know, and I'm just like, it don't work like that way in Miami. It don't work.
Or for anyone that's not of the lighter persuasion.
Yeah, it don't work. But you just skated off. So for me, I have no remorse.
No.
Anything bad that happened to you from that. Like, you're lucky you got involved with a cop.
Right.
Instead of some real drug dealers.
I didn't even think about that.
Because, like, D was even thinking, like, I mean, even D said at the end, he was like, dude, if I hadn't gotten into that shit with the cops, I was going to rob him.
Oh, right.
I was just going to take the shit.
Yeah.
Like, who was he going to tell?
Right.
He was going to pay for me to go down there and get it, and I was just going to take the shit.
Right.
Disappear.
Right.
And he wouldn't have seen nothing.
That's right.
And to me, that was just like, you know, white people trust him. Because it's in there that, that he wasn't a drug dealer. That's why. And also because like, he could have got killed.
Right.
He could have easily got killed. Some other drug dealers could have been looking for that dope for years. And that would have added to the movie. The actual drug dealers who lost the money are looking for it too. But we're going to write that script later. But you know, it's, it just seems like it's like the whole time I'm sitting there in disbelief of like, how are you guys this stupid?
I don't know.
You know?
Yeah, I know. It's pretty incredible. And like... And to be honest, I didn't see the setup coming, and I probably should have. The first time I saw this doc, I didn't see the setup coming.
I didn't either.
Yeah, because the way they edited it and stuff, and he was like, you know what? I had it wrong. I didn't think he was, like, on the up and up. But then, like, you know, he meets him, and he's like, oh, yeah, I felt like I should apologize to him.
Yeah, stuff, that's right. Know? He was, yeah. like, he was extra hugging. He was like, oh, let's go.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm just like,
you and your big, big ass back.
I almost want to ask, was it easy starting your business when you started? How it wasn't easy. You had to really go through shit. So why the fuck would you think it'd be so easy just to get somebody to go to Puerto Rico and bring you back some cocaine?
I know, that's insane.
Like you just been better trying to find a drug dealer you could give some money. Be like, hey, go get the cocaine and whatever you make off, just give me that much back.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But no.
No, he couldn't do that. Well, he got greedy, too. And then it's like what greed does is like when they go to Puerto Rico, they don't have a shovel. Andy gets sick. Everything fucking falls apart. And so they leave. And when they fly into, I think, San Juan or is it back into Florida? I forget. They fly into a bigger city. And they're, yeah. And then customs is there. Yes. Or DEA is there.
Yeah,
and going through everyone's bags, and they're just like, fuck. Because if they had actually been smart and had a shovel and yeah. found the coke, they would have been fucked.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and so he's there. Rodney's there just being like, man, I'm so glad that we didn't find it. And that's when you turn away and you say, I will never come back, and I'm done.
Exactly. Yeah. Once that comes up to him, then you're like, oh, this is not a game. They're yeah. actually serious about this
yeah.
shit. And you were going to have a quite large quantity
yeah.
of cocaine, not like a little gram personal use type thing,
right.
but like, no, you're trafficking, dude.
Yeah.
Trafficking. That's extra time. There's drug dealing, then there's smuggling, and then there's trafficking, which is all three mixed together, and you're just going to jail for a long time.
That's
and,
the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it would have been nothing you could explain, but it's,
yeah.
it's like, I mean, I guess I felt bad for Andy.
Oh, yeah?
Because I feel like he was just trying to help this dude out, you know? And in the end, he was probably just going to get like a brick of coke or,
right.
you know, a couple of grams or
yeah.
a blow and dudes and be like, just come by and wash my truck tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
it was just the arrogance of stupidity is what made it the worst.
Yeah, I know, man. It's fucking nuts.
Oh, my God. Just I wonder what they're doing now. I want to.
Yeah, I know. A little follow-up. And see what's going on with those guys. Well, that's kind of like that's when yeah when you go back for another taste, when you go back when put your hand in the cookie jar twice after being caught, like that's when shit usually goes south. And that's what happens in this story.
Yes,
is that they got like he just couldn't let good enough just lie. It wasn't good enough not to get caught. They had to go back because he's like, I'm smarter than everybody.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they try it again and they get a hold of Carlos again. And then he's like, I just felt like maybe he stole it. You know, they found it and they stole it. And then he gets that picture
Ugh.
Sent to him of the cocaine where he's like, they found it. They have the cocaine. I looked at that picture like 1,000 times. I'm like, what is this picture?
That is not cocaine.
I don't even know what the fuck I'm looking at.
You took all that's all you needed to say. Let's meet this guy and get. I'd be like, no, I need you to send me a video of you pulling it out the ground,
mm-hmm.
cutting one of the things open, snorting it, having a party,
yeah.
getting drunk, having
right.
coke dick, and then I believe
right.
it was cocaine. Yeah. And that done, I'd be like, new number, who this?
Yeah, and it's I like how it says in the documentary, like actual photo of the cocaine or whatever, and I'm like, I've looked at that fucking thing. I'm like, I don't know what is in this picture. I don't see anything.
Yeah, well, when you're not a coke dealer, you don't know these things.
That's right, yeah.
You're not accustomed to, you know, going to buy and sell cocaine. So, of course, you're like, well, it looks about right, you know.
Yeah.
And the fact he was excited about using the lingo, you know. Here I am, now, instead of saying kilogram, I'm saying kilo.
Yeah. Yeah, he got caught up into the
oh my god
romance, the romance behind it all.
It's well, you know, he kept referencing movies, so it just lets me know that his connection to drug dealing is what he's seen in movies.
Yeah,
and apparently he never watches these movies.
No, he never gets to the end.
He stops like, oh, he got the money.
Yeah,
that's good enough for
me. Pause it. Let's go. Let's go do this. I want, like, when I was a freshman in college, I got by selling drugs. I never sold coke, but I did sell like acid and micro dots and weed and that shit.
Yeah.
And I had a dog, and she had puppies, and I gave all these puppies away. And about 6 months later, I'm chilling in my house, and the cops show up at my house. Bam, 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 bam on the front door. I was like, fuck. And I finally answered the door, and they're like, is Paco here? And I was like, uh-uh. Nope, he moved. I don't even know who you're talking about. Like, there's no Paco here.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, huh, okay. And they leave, and then about a week later, I get a phone call. And my roommate tells me, I get on the phone, and it's this guy, and he's like, hey, this is Sergeant whatever Wojcicki with the Kalamazoo Police Department. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, are you Paco? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, I went to your house. They told me you moved. And I was like, fuck, I'm back for just a second, you know? And then I hung up the phone and I got rid of everything. You remember triple beams?
Yeah.
You remember those scales everyone wanted? Like I had some of those. Those are expensive. I gave all my drugs away. I gave everything away. And then like another, like, I don't know, month or 2 months later, the fucking cops come back to my door. And I start this time I was like, fuck it, I need to know what's going on. So I talked to him and I was like, what the fuck is going on? Why are you keep coming to my house? And he's like, well, like 6 months ago, you gave me a puppy and you told me to come back and tell you how the dog was doing because you love these puppies. So
Oh my God, because you was high. You're like, next time you're going to do this puppy.
Wow. And he said, my wife wouldn't let it. She's like, you love those puppies so much. She's like, you got to go tell him how much we love his dog. And so he's like,
maybe you hadn't showed up in your fucking cop
That's
uniform.
That's what I said. I was like, dude, God. You gotta come by the cop. Oh my God, dude.
Like, if you're a cop, you can't really go do errands.
You can't
in your
run
uniform,
errands,
okay? Because any business you show up into, you start asking questions. I don't know.
Yeah.
What is your dry cleaning ticket? Okay, word. Right, dry cleaning ticket. Okay, all right, officer. Well, when you you come back, and we'll have your dry cleaning.
Yeah, right. No,
like it just. That was his fault. Don't feel bad, Paco. That was his fault, even though you did.
Dude, I freaked out, and I gave away a lot of valuable stuff. I just gave it away. I had a cactus that I'm like, it might have peyote on it. I don't even fucking know. I gave that away. I just gave everything away. That was the last time I ever did something like that. But see, I didn't go back, though, for more. See, I learned my lesson. That scared me enough that I was like, fuck this.
Because even still, just a little, him coming back check, and he sees something, and he's like, oh.
Right.
Are you dealing drugs, too?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for the puppy. You're going downtown now.
Yeah,
like,
fucking handcuffed, and that'd be done.
Oh, God.
I know, man.
Yeah, It's some people learn the first time. Some people need a little bit more.
Right.
You know, that's why they have the yellow strip by the BART tracks where it says, don't step over this, even though we all know what happens. Like, you're going to get electrocuted and get hit by a fucking train. So
or
stay
both.
On the platform. Or both.
Yeah. Stay
so
on the fucking platform.
Stay on the platform. Or was that a lady? She sued McDonald's
for the hot
for
coffee.
For the hot coffee. Yeah. Now I have to read caution. Contents hot on a cup that I bought and I requested it to be hot.
Right.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. For the most of us, like you said, we watch this as rational people. And from the get-go, we're like, this is fucking ridiculous.
How do you sit with like helmet laws and shit like that? Are you for or against that kind of stuff?
Well, like on motorcycle stuff, you know, I personally would wear a helmet because I'm just scared of dying like that. But I don't think it should. I'm not against people not wearing helmets. You know, I think it's up to you. If you're an experienced enough motorcycle rider and you feel like you're safe on that bike without a helmet, go for it.
Yeah.
Personally, I feel like if you live more in a congested city type setting, definitely.
Yeah.
Probably need your helmet on.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like when you go to certain parts, like in Ohio, I think is they have certain counties are helmet and certain counties aren't. So like people will have the helmet. But they won't have it depending on what county they're in. And I figure, like, you know, when, like, you know, I drove past Amish country and there's nothing out there. And the people just, fuck it. I don't really think you need a helmet way out here. You know, there's no cars. You on a straight-ass road, maybe a little up and down.
Yeah.
You know, the summer
corn.
Yeah, some corn, you know. Yeah. I don't think you necessarily need it, but yeah, in the streets, oh, you definitely need that shit.
Yeah, but you're not against the government saying that people should need to wear a helmet.
I think the government can suggest it. Like, hey guys, uh-huh. I'm like, I don't think people should be punished for not wearing it.
Oh, okay.
That's where I have a problem with some of the laws or ways we do things in America. It's like, yeah. Okay, we should encourage people to be safer,
yeah.
But you shouldn't punish people for not being
right.
safer for themselves.
Right.
Now, yes, if you see somebody on a motorcycle and they got a kid on a motorcycle and the kid don't got no helmet on, yes, definitely pull them over and say, hey, you know, it's a little ticket, put a helmet on your kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's different. You're putting someone else's life in danger.
Right.
Whereas if the kid grows up and chooses not to wear the helmet, then, yeah, let him do it. It's his business.
Right.
Same thing with drugs.
I just got a letter right here today from the city of San Francisco saying that I'm going to owe them $250 if I keep my trash can viewable from the street of San Francisco. Viewable. You can't have it. Like, I'm not pooping and peeing all over the city like everyone else.
Yeah.
I put my trash in a trash can like I'm supposed to, but I'm going to get a $250 fine because people can see my trash cans.
Where are you supposed to put them?
I don't fucking know. We don't have anywhere else to put them.
So you don't have a side entrance? Mm-mm. And that? So basically, they're just like fucking with you for real.
Yeah. $250.
Wow.
Because you can see my trash can from the street. Isn't that fucked? That's just fucked up, man.
So what is there? That sounds terrible.
It does sound terrible.
That's like, what? That's like somebody being mad at you because your hair is showing. Like, hey, put that hair away.
Yeah.
Where to put it? Put it away.
But if I dump my trash on the sidewalk, nothing would happen to me. Like,
maybe you should.
Maybe I fucking should.
You know what? Maybe we need to stop living by the rules. So I was thinking about this. Maybe Donald Trump has it right.
Uh-oh, okay.
Maybe the whole way is to go fuck these people.
Uh-huh.
What do you want to do, Paco? You want to go and piss on somebody's car? Fuck it. Go piss on that car.
Okay.
Of course, the consequences may you have to fight, but guess what? Why are we worried about what other people think? And that's exactly what it is. Like, you know, they want to charge you
$250
for doing the thing they say is right, which
right.
is not to litter,
right.
to put your trash in. Then they're going to charge you for leaving a receptacle on the street. It's like, well, what the fuck do you want me to do?
Yeah.
I might as well say, fuck it. I'm shitting on the street too.
Right.
I'm going to leave my trash right here. Well, I'll get rid of the receptacle. You won't even see it.
Yeah.
It won't even be seen from the street. You know what it'll be seen from the street? Months and months of fucking tampons and nasty diapers and Indian food. I didn't have those things in my life, but I will make sure all three of them end up in front of me.
Well, it's also San Francisco, so be a lot of nitrous contain cartridges or whatever. Like
empty weed jars.
Empty weed jars and like those little clips that get you into your Twitter office things. Those little
cards.
Everyone's got one of those fucking things.
Yeah, that's whack. This city is whack.
I know. No, let me ask you this. Have you ever been offered like something like this? Not necessarily cocaine or anything, but like just like basically a quick, rich idea. Like where someone's like, dude, I can make you a lot of money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Prepaid legal.
Okay.
I don't remember what. I just remember it was basically people come to you and say, hey. It was a pyramid scheme, basically. You give me money for a prepaid legal, so that means you always have a lawyer for whatever, and then you get five other people to give you money
Shut
to recoup
up.
Your money for giving me money, but you, the more people you get, the more money you make. And so I'm like, so everybody's just trying to get more people to sign up for prepaid legal.
So not health insurance, but like legal insurance.
Yes.
Whoa.
Basically. And there was a lot of people I know that was doing it, and they were like, I'm making it. I was like, I just don't know enough stupid people.
Right.
To do prepaid legal. I don't. Honestly, everybody
prepaid
I know.
Paid legal.
Yeah.
That's kind of brilliant.
It is. It's the greatest scam because if you go to a bunch of black and brown people who
right.
may or may not need legal advice sometime in their life just based on their skin color.
Yeah.
And you say, hey, why not just have this lawyer always on deck? You just give me this much money and just keep the lawyer on deck. And I'm like,
holy shit.
No.
Yeah. How about no?
No. And then they're asking, well, you put in this much money, but you get all your money back the more people you get to sign up. I'm like, no.
Yeah, that's interesting. Do you want to talk about your business that you have, the career?
I
want
to talk about the business, the bill. I ain't even paying bills yet. That's the crazy thing about businesses. Like people start bills and then businesses and they think that's going to be
it.
Balling. Like, right. Actually, it's funny. It's the kind of, I was thinking, like, you were on that thread on Bacon where you're talking about, where Terry's talking about the open mic. being canceled.
Oh,
and
right.
People, comics just spending a little money.
Yeah.
And, the ideal comics. Oh, yeah, the ideal comics. You know, the idealistic, like, you know, business has money to stay open, buy this and buy booze.
Right.
They should pay us to do an open mic. And I'm like, you guys don't know how business works,
no.
Do you? Like somebody literally said, a business is privileged enough to have money. You know, they're wealthy enough to have a business. I'm like, no small business owner is wealthy enough to have a business. Some get wealthy from having a business,
right.
But you never start a business because you're wealthy enough. I mean, so
right.
to speak.
And yeah.
So, you know, I started working with these guys that run a cannabis dispensary. It was when I first started working. We were under the Measure Z, you know, thing. So it's basically,
right.
you know, we were still buying turkey bag weed, which is, you know, that's that black market weed, you know.
Never heard that expression before.
Well, that's what we called it because,
turkey
you know,
bag.
The guys, when we buy weed, I always come through a big turkey bag, those turkey cooking bags
yeah,
full of weed.
And that's hilarious.
We just buy those and bag them up. And sell them out.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone came to us and said, you know what? Like, the police weren't tripping on us. They were
yeah.
like, you guys are good. Like, we were kind of good for the community.
Yeah.
And then there's this lady who's like, hey, you guys want to get your license doing deliveries? And we're like, what? Turns out getting a delivery license is way easier than actually getting a dispensary license.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, of course.
Because with a delivery license, I don't really need to have weed. I just need to have an ability to deliver weed. So
right.
if you have a farm, and you don't necessarily want to go through the dispensary, you hit me up and I deliver your weed.
Right.
So we did that, and it's cool, but yeah, owning a business is not
what's the name of it?
Lit Oakland.
Lit Oakland. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
LitOakland.com.
Is it only in Oakland?
No, we're expanding out. Like, we actually have an office now in Santa Cruz.
Mm.
We're working on Sacramento, and we're actually trying to get to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
The great thing about our license, it's a state license.
Oh, nice.
So we can open up a delivery place anywhere in the state of California. And so what we're doing right now is we're trying to find people to basically lease our license. Like, you want to have a delivery business, pay us such and such to use our license. Put your address down as one of our hubs, and then you are responsible for purchasing the product and selling it, whatever price point that you have to make us our money.
Right.
Now, you know, we can do it all up front, or we can do a monthly stipend, you know, monthly rent for it, you
right.
know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And that's what we're working on now, but it's definitely, now it's a matter of sustainability, if
right.
you know, outlasting ease and all those other things. And, you know, for the most part, when I was buying weed back in the day, all the weed men were delivery services. They all delivered,
yeah.
you know, unless yeah. you was buying like a 10 sack. And it's
yeah.
like, nah, you got to come get
when
this.
When I first moved here, I was ecstatic to get one of those little business cards where I could call these cats and they would come over, and they were all hippie guys with Tupperware full of weed and shit.
Uh-huh.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that existed.
Yeah. They come in and you're just like, oh, this is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, it's, I think for me, I feel like being a delivery service is going to be easier than being a dispensary.
Mm-hmm.
Because being a dispensary, you got to get people to come to you. But being a delivery, I just, you know, tell people, hey, look, you know, I roll around on Facebook and people are like, oh, I need some weed. Hey, hit up this number right now. They'll bring it to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And people are like, oh, that's dope. And then, you know, I'm trying to push the whole black cannabis thing because, you know, with the whole legalization now, there's a whole demographic of people who were thrown in jail for doing exactly what we were doing
for
right
something
now.
That's now legal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so thank God California is working on expunging a lot of those records, which is a first step. Then
yeah.
there has to come the equality of the cannabis because, mm. you know, now it's being overrun with, you know, wealthy white kids who just got the money to do it, you
right.
know, as opposed to, you know, like we were talking about the people up in Humboldt who are getting pushed out
right,
now
from
because,
Murder Mountain, that documentary.
Yeah, yeah, the, another great documentary
yeah, yeah.
of white privilege. but yeah, you know, and so I'm trying to link up with as many, you know, I want to work with black cannabis business owners, you know, no matter what you do, CBD, oils, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, kind of create a network so that way we can build our stake in it and then not have to go buy black cannabis. It can just be cannabis.
Right.
That's the goal, hopefully,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I mean, I get to sample all kinds of new weed.
That's nice.
I brought you some
yeah, you did.
Frittles.
Some Frittles.
And actually, I don't think that's Blue Dream in there. Let me see. This might actually be the cheesecake. Oh, This is cheesecake.
Oh, nice.
Yay. All right. So that's actually a good one. Cheesecake.
Nice. That's awesome. Thank you for that. Ooh, that smells good, man. Woo.
Yeah. Just open that. Go easy on the cheesecake.
Okay.
Though. Not much. I only gave you like a nug of it, but I'll bring you more.
So speaking of privilege, and to get back to this doc, so after all the fumbling and bumbling and not doing shit right and not knowing what's going on, he finally relents, and then he gets caught up again, and then he gets word that they found the cocaine, and so he meets Carlos at like a bass and fish place.
Yeah, out in the cuts.
Which where Carlos, who is this notorious drug dealer, just wants to buy a Shakespeare rod, apparently.
Like, that's right. He was just buying a rod.
Yeah, just out getting a fishing rod. And he meets him there and he's like, yo, I got your money. Here's the keys to my car. My car is parked for some strange reason all the way back in this giant parking lot.
Oh, my God.
And you need to go fetch it. So our boy Rodney goes out to the car, looks in it, sees all this money and says, I got it. I'm in. And then when he gets to his truck, we see this, I think, pretty awesome reenactment of laser pointings on Rodney's chest.
Yes.
And we find now that the DEA is involved and he's been set up.
That was a hilarious moment. Yeah. His face was just like, me?
Yeah.
Why would they send me a me? Ah, couldn't be me.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that's you.
That is you.
That's you, my friend. And you're like, okay, this is not good.
No, not good. So then we kind of fast forward. So he goes to trial, basically. And everyone says, like, he never actually did anything illegal.
Yeah.
Except for the collusion, if you will.
Yes.
The desire was there, and he tried.
Intent.
The intent, thank you. The intent was there. And so they arrest him. You know, everyone's distraught, and he goes to court, and the judge has final say in his sentencing.
Yes.
Which I think maximum would have been, what, like 10 years probably or something 10, like that?
Probably 6 with good behavior.
Yeah. And then we find out that the judge uses this kind of like weird Florida law and sentences him to 60 days.
Yes.
Which is pretty fucking incredible. Like we were talking about earlier, if he had been a person of color.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I don't know. None of the reviews I read about this documentary bring that point up, but I think it's like really kind of important. Like,
I think all the stupidity in the whole thing, it's kind of like you have to really like be thinking about that. Like, honestly, you're watching this documentary and you're just like, these people can't be this stupid. And the stupider they get, the less you think about the layups they're being given. Like, you know, the alley-oop of, hey, we're going to do 60 days. Like, you know, that type of thing. They, you know, triple because you're like, first of all, how'd you just get all up in this? How did you be so stupid to take a story that some high-ass hippie told you while smoking and drinking around a bonfire in fucking Florida?
Yeah.
How did you go from there to, I think I'm going to go get that shit. Bring it back.
Right.
And then what were you going to do when you got back? You're going to give it to this drug dealer you've known for 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Who admits at the end, if I hadn't had to go through that, I was going to take that shit.
I was going
to
rob his ass. Yeah. That is how bad things become worse.
And it's almost like, that is true. What you're saying is very true. If it had been anybody of color, it would have been completely different. But at the same time, you're just so caught up in the stupidity of it. You're like, I can't believe that shit.
Right.
Like, I can't.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty. I don't know if you saw Finders Keepers. Did you see that, Doc?
No. Which one was that about?
It's about a guy who finds a leg in a barbecue grill.
Yes.
At an estate
sale. I have
seen
that one. Yes.
Yeah. And that's the same kind of lazy wish fulfillment kind of thing where he's like, I'm going to get rich off this leg. He starts a museum.
Yes.
He starts a roadside attraction.
And the dude's like, can I have my leg back?
Yeah.
Nah, fuck you.
Nah, it's my leg. It's my leg, man.
It's my leg. Like, why do you want to keep my leg, dude?
Yeah, it's my fucking leg.
Let me have my leg. Just come on.
Yeah. And he sets up a roadside attraction where people, adults $2, kids $1 to touch it. To see touch
and that's and here's the thing. Are you more mad at him for setting up the roadside?
Fuck, I don't know.
Or are you more mad at the people who stop and pay for that shit?
Oh God. Who is the worst person in that
Who's
scenario?
Who's more gross? The people who make fecal poo-poo porn?
Right.
The people who
jack
watch
off.
It.
Yeah. Boy, that's a chicken and egg question.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it'd be the person who makes it is probably worse.
Because they're going to exploit somebody.
Because it's exploitive. Yeah, exactly. And if you want to jack off to getting shit on chest, that's your thing. But if it's like
someone's making it for you,
but if it's yeah, if it's it's the, you know, like
that is girl. It's just yeah, like dude kept the leg.
Yeah.
Then when dude wanted it back, that's when he read even more asshole. Like right. Oh
yeah, he went to the news and shit, and then they were on Judge Brown. Remember that part?
Oh my like, god,
Judge, they went to Judge Brown.
Oh my god, that shit is just.
I know. Well, if you guys please get a chance, if you've not seen The Legend of Cocaine Island, definitely check it out on Netflix. Check it out on Netflix. And Chris, this has been awesome. We end our podcast. I have some questions for you.
All right.
And so what's your hometown?
Berkeley.
Oh, okay. Berkeley.
South Berkeley.
Okay.
The part that touches Oakland.
Yeah. Got it. Person you are most mistaken for.
It used to be Fife from Tribe Called Quest.
Oh, nice.
And now it's some other rapper named Gutta, who I've never heard of. But young people always walk to me, are you Gutta? And sometimes I get some 18-year-old trim.
I don't think a lot of people know this about you, but you were in the music industry for a long time.
Yes, I was. I was too long.
Uh-huh.
That's why I'm such a good comedian, yes. Man, because I've seen the funniness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that for a while.
Right.
I'm glad I got out of that alive. Yeah,
I was in the music industry as well, and I'm the same way.
Yeah, you know.
I'm glad I got out. What is your dark secret?
Oh, my dark secret.
You can pass if you
want. No, I think people need to hear this. I like the... All right. I like to do drugs and watch show like Broadway musicals and sing along. Oh my god, I feel so good getting that out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh gosh, Chicago's my favorite.
Oh, that's hilarious. What is your biggest pet peeve?
Ooh. So many, I can come over. I think my biggest pet peeve at this moment is people who somehow think having knowledge is some sort of like way thing to hold over other people.
Uh huh.
You know, like the whole woke thing. Like, right. I think my pet peeve is people who are woke not to actually make the community better, but just to boost their own little status or ego in the world or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one. What do you never travel without?
Ooh, headphones.
Oh, yeah. Do you have pets?
I do. I have a 3-year-old, half pit, half Australian Shepherd puppy.
Whoa, what a mix.
Yeah, she looks like a baby pit.
Okay.
Like she's the size of a small Australian Shepherd, yeah. But she's like all pit coloring. Her nose is pretty broad like a pit, but she's Australian Shepherd to the end. And I'm getting a new puppy because our delivery service, since we have been victimized, we're getting a dog.
There you go.
And I get to take it home and train it until it's old enough to sleep at the store.
Oh, that's awesome. What is your biggest regret?
Cheating on good women.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to say specifically, but yes, cheating on good women.
Okay, yeah.
Cheating on hoes, I don't feel no pain.
Right. Well, yeah, because that's what makes them. Okay, so who is your celebrity crush?
Drew Barrymore.
Oh, man, right?
Drew is just so
we're old enough
hot.
To remember when she took her shirt off on Letterman.
Remember that? And she's even hotter now that she's older.
She's beautiful.
She's gotten older and just like, yeah, Drew.
Yeah.
You seem like you got some ass now.
Yeah. I've only seen 3 celebrities in LA in the time I lived there, and one of them was Drew Barrymore, and I was very excited.
I met Helen Mirren.
Oh, you did?
Oh, my God. She's not a celebrity crush, but she's a celebrity. If she asked
awesome.
To fuck in the back of anywhere, I'd be like, yes, Helen Mirren.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Like, she is.
Where'd you meet her?
At Cedars-Sinai Hospital.
No, really?
She needed directions on how to get to oncology. And she was so sweet, and just her booty was just, woo!
Oh, really?
Yeah, she had that old lady booty.
Yeah. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Hopefully alive. Actually, you know what? New York.
Oh, really?
I gotta get out of here. I gotta go east because I went to LA
Yeah.
LA's not for guys like us.
Yeah, I know, man.
I like it for the business aspect. Like, right. Once I can go to LA and I'm there for what I want to be there for instead of trying to survive there.
Right.
But I feel like trying to survive in New York is just way better because it's just like, so it's, you know.
Yeah. Well, like, people with our sense of humor works better, I think.
Yeah.
Than it does this, yeah, the LA thing.
LA, they don't understand sarcasm.
It's too alt. It's too woke. It's anti-sarcasm. And that's basically not me. None of that.
Everybody understands for image. Everybody's like, you know, I don't want to say the wrong thing and ruin my image. And we're like, fuck image. We're just trying to be funny.
Yeah.
Then again, we're the white males of comedy right now.
We are the cargo shorts of comedy. Mr. Riggins, thank you so much, buddy.
Thank you so much, Paco. This has been fun. I've been waiting to sit down and talk with somebody about this. Yeah. Dr. Richie says I saw it because nobody else saw it. So
okay, right on. Thank you, sir.
No problem, man.
Hey, thanks for listening. You can find out more about SupDoc at supdocpodcast.com, recapping reality since 2015. Our theme song was written by David Siegel, and our show is engineered by Will Scovel. For as little as $1 a month, you can donate to the show through our Patreon page, patreon.com/supdocpodcast. And if you want to help us out in other ways, please just share the show. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Find out more about Paco and George's comedy gigs on the About Us page on our website. SupDoc is by Doc fans for Doc fans. So if you want to advertise with us, you got a film or opinions, just hit us up. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com.